The first question is, can you fast till all the fat and toxins are gone? I mean, like, till 8% body fat. Okay, so, yeah, technically you can fast until all of the fat and toxins are gone, but it's a fool's errand. So that just simply means that we're constantly, this is all about balance. It's not really about being pure, because believe it or not, if we were pure in this environment, it would not be beneficial for us. As the body, you know, comes into contact with different substances, it creates barriers and processes to handle and deal with those substances so that we can continue living, you know, somewhat of a normal life without feeling completely ill all the time. Because remember, when your body is removing toxicity from the system, it's detox symptoms. We've all experienced it on our fasting. So to actually fast all of your toxicity out, it wouldn't really be a good thing, because then you would be extremely sensitive to everything. And unless you're planning on moving to a remote island or something where the air is fresh and the water is clean and the sky is not polluted, you wouldn't actually want to do that, believe it or not. It would probably be more trouble. But to your point, I think, yeah, you could fast, like you could continue fasting, until the body gets to a certain point, and then it would essentially stop losing weight, or it'll slow down. Now, what I will say is if you want to pursue something like that, I would highly suggest that you research breatharians. Okay. Breatharians have learned techniques, their breathing techniques, for sustaining themselves for long periods of time without eating. And then also some of them don't drink as well. So if you're going to do something like this, I'm okay with it, but preparation is obviously very important. And then also I would highly suggest that you learn about breatharianism and breathing exercises, because that's going to help you along your way. Number one, is going to help you reach whatever goal it is you have, whether it's getting to 8% body fat or whatever the case may be. It'll help you get there faster, more efficiently, and help mitigate the detox symptoms and things like that. So that's what I would say. In one of your videos, you briefly advised viewers not to refrigerate their sun water. Why is that? Also, does this same advice apply to our freshly squeezed juice and fruit? Is it not better to refrigerate our fruit and structured energized water for optimal benefits? Thank you. Good question. Very well thought out. And seems like you actually pay attention, so I appreciate that. All right, so the reason I briefly mentioned not to refrigerate it is because I want to give the most optimal advice at all times. You know what I mean? Like, that's just my goal with a healthy alternative. And I didn't spend a lot of time on it because it's not a huge deal as, you know, in the grand scheme of things. But if you avoid, so the thing about water is once you've taken it through this process of structuring it, energizing it, formatting it, really erasing all the data on it, and it's pure, that leaves a lot of room for new imprints. And what I mean is frequency can go into your water and it'll reshape how the water molecules are formed. So the whole reason you have to structure your water in the first place is because water will memorize everything it comes in contact with. So this is frequency. This is material. This could be from a light fixture. It could be from a mineral you put in the water. Everything has an effect on the water. Our electricity that we use is what, you know, you may consider dirty electricity. It's not really conducive to wellness. It doesn't really, it's dangerous if it's not set up properly, if the circuit is not complete. It's just, it's a dangerous energy. And the energy of life, or the energy that the earth uses, is harmonious with the creatures and the organisms and us included. And as well, it is energy that is considered implosion. So electricity and all the energy that we typically use nowadays is explosion. The energy emanates outwardly. Natural energy is a feminine energy that implodes. It's it pretty much explodes inside itself, but by doing that, it makes itself stronger. It's like this really amazing perpetual effect. So the reason why I say to keep your water away from, you know, the refrigerator is mainly because of the electricity and the light, you know. So I've actually talked a little bit about protecting your water from light energy. So you may have, I don't know how far you are in the course, but I talk about the mirroring glass or the infinity jars, which are dark jars that protect your water from light energy. And to make it make sense for you, if you've ever bought a bottle of wine, you know, a little bit pricier, maybe, well, $12, you probably get a colored glass. If you buy like a $12 or $20 bottle of wine, it's a colored glass. It's usually dark colored. And the reason for that is to protect the wine from light, because light has an effect on the wine and light has an effect on the water as well. So just the same that you would kind of treat a fine bottle of wine, you would protect it from the light and the, you know, different energy sources and stuff, you would do the same thing with your water. You shouldn't treat your wine better than you treat your water. So that's the reason why I said that. Now, with that being said, the effect that the light energy has on it, you know, it is something that builds up over time. So the quicker that you drink your water, the better. And also, when you look at the big picture, you know, we're bathing in tap water, we're drinking bottled waters, and we're drinking tap water from restaurants, we're doing all this stuff, and you've taken the time to energize your sun water and everything like that. So, you know, it's just a good idea to continue that theme with that water and keep it away from that. If you really just don't like warm or room temperature water, you could always do some distilled water ice cubes. And I say distilled water because if you put ice cubes from the freezer in it, the freezer doesn't filter it properly, and you will taste a difference in your water. So you get some distilled water and you freeze it, and you could use some ice cubes, and that might, you know, mitigate the effects, and you can get some chilled water like that. But yeah, it is the same effect as on juice. It is the same effect, but I just like to let you all be aware of it so that you can make good decisions when it's convenient, right? Like, I don't want you to go out of your way too much for this. I can't really measure the difference between drinking sun water right off the patio versus after a day in the refrigerator. I just know that it's different. That's all. Like, I can't tell you exactly how different it is. I don't have the equipment to do that, but I know that's different. And you'd be perfectly fine putting in a refrigerator for a couple hours or, you know, a day or whatever, but it is more optimal not to. And that's all that is. So same effect on, you know, your fruit juice and everything else. So you can, you know, I actually don't, when I make fruit juice fresh, I don't refrigerate it. I just make it fresh and drink it. When I'm doing fasting, and if I'm supplementing with juice, then I will put it in the refrigerator or even freeze it. And I don't worry about it. And I'm actually on a fast now. I'm going to be breaking it today, but I'm doing a fast with, been doing about 12 or 20 ounces of juice a day. What are some signs when on a fast that the body gives when it's time to break a fast? What are some signs when you're on a fast that it's time to break a fast? That is a tricky question to answer. There are very well thought out answers to this question. I've heard them. I don't necessarily agree with them. I don't necessarily disagree with them. So where I've kind of landed is this is a very personal experience. And I think that we all need to take responsibility for the fact that this is your own personal wellness journey. So all that means is that it's really going to be up to you to make the decision when you stop, what signs you feel like are telling you to stop. What I usually do when I'm doing like consulting and or coaching, I'm sorry, consultations, is I will recommend that the individual continue fasting until they feel as if they can't perform their typical daily tasks. So we always have to consider our lifestyle and, you know, what's going on around us. You know, oftentimes, especially in the Facebook group, I think we get in this mode where it's like, oh, we gotta fast. We gotta do this long fast. Everybody else is doing it. I gotta do it too. And I gotta push. And it's just like, no, you don't. You don't have to. You definitely don't want to go easy on yourself. Like, you don't want to make excuses. You want to get the job done, but you don't have to push yourself to the brink, because the beautiful thing about this is it's a journey, right? So, you know, a journey could last you, yeah, a year. It could last you 15 years. It's your journey. So if you're asking, when is the body screaming, hey, I need to eat? I haven't found that point. There's an idea of what they call true hunger. And I can't remember which doctor introduced this idea, but it's fairly popular. And it's basically this idea that, you know, when you go on your fast, you're going to start experience like the cravings, the hunger pangs, things like that. Over a period of time, that's going to die down. So let's just say, you know, 12 days or so, that kind of dies down and goes away. And then you start to experience true hunger sometime thereafter. Now, I've personally have never experienced this true hunger, but the way they describe it is like it's in your throat and not in your stomach. I think I feel like I know what they're talking about. But even with this true hunger thing, I mean, if it is what I think it is, I've experienced it and I've pushed through it. I've done that many, many times. And so when people ask me, Chris, when should I stop fasting? Like, when is my body telling me not to fast? I'm usually like, it's really not. It's more of a mental game. You're not going to hurt yourself fasting. Now, if you've been fasting for, you know, half a year, 6 months or something, and you're 180 pounds and you're 6'6", then at some point in time, you may get to a place where you're too weak to function. Well, I think that's probably a good time to stop fasting. But if you're 500 pounds and you're 6 foot, you could probably fast for an entire year. You see what I'm saying? So it's going to depend on the individual. And once again, I say, when you feel like you cannot perform your daily tasks, whatever that is, whether it's, you know, doing sitting at a desk and working from home, or whether you're a truck driver, or whatever the case may be, you just got to take responsibility for your lifestyle and your actions. Don't let anybody else tell you when you should stop or nothing like that. Base it off of how you feel, because no one's in your body. Now for dry fasting, what I will say is you want to be a little bit more careful. And usually what I'll say is, your mouth, you'll notice that your mouth is actually very moist on a dry fast, especially if you've properly hydrated, your mouth should be moist. So at some point, your mouth will start to dry up. And I personally have taken that as an indicator to go ahead and break my dry fast, especially because by that time, your throat starts to forget how to swallow. And you just kind of start getting into more of a place where it's kind of dangerous if you break the fast and you don't know what you're doing. So I usually recommend that when your mouth dries up, that's a good time to stop and, you know, break it. So that's pretty much my answer for that question. I started a fast with plain organic ginger tea and stayed on for 4 days without feeling empty and lost 8 pounds. I had an unexpected emotional situation and I broke my fast. Mentally, I feel like ginger worked as an appetite suppressant after trying just water and feeling empty. Now it's been hard to get back on, hence the reason I joined this community, to learn more about fasting. I'm also afraid of breaking a fast because I don't want to make it harder to get back on. Your thoughts? Anytime that you are adding anything extra to your fast, it is going to make the fast easier, you know? And my thing is, if we're going to add something extra to the fast, we want it to be optimal for what it is that we're doing. So it either needs to benefit you in some way, so some type of herbal tea or something like that, or it needs to have a, the least detrimental effect on the fasting process, is what you will want to use, right? So with a ginger tea, I don't really have any issues with a ginger tea. You know, if you want to use that on your fast, it is going to make you feel a little bit more full, right? Versus just water. And as far as I understand your fear of breaking your fast, because you know, you kind of, when you get fasting, you kind of get in the swing of things. You just want to keep pushing it because, you know, maybe you're at a place where you felt like you got past the hard part and you feel like you don't want to go through that again. I think that it's important to keep things in perspective. You know, if you're struggling with starting and stopping fasting and just kind of like that whole process, it may be a good idea to shift your focus to another area of wellness that's just as important. And usually that would be your diet. Because as I mentioned a little earlier, your diet is going to be like so important after the fasting. So there's nothing wrong with focusing on it up front and then just giving yourself some time to. Sometimes I like to let myself forget what fasting's like, if that makes sense. Just give yourself some time to forget what fasting is like. And then once you forget and you get re-energized by a video or something that someone says, then you can roll back into it with a proper preparation leading up to the fast. And that way you're not mentally defeated going into the fast. Sometimes I feel like when something is challenging, We keep at it. And it's just like, you got to take a step back sometimes. I don't know if that's your situation. It doesn't sound like you've kind of been going at it for too long. I don't know. It's hard to say, but sometimes it's a good idea to take a step back, focus your energy on a different area, and then, you know, come back at it again, fully prepared. Do the prep work. That prep work is huge. So if you're watching the videos, you're going through the programs, you're learning how to do the prep work. And, you know, I'm not really a big fan of green juices, as most of you guys probably know, mainly because of the yield, the earthy material found within it, which, you know, can, become stones and stuff in your body. And also because it oftentimes isn't very good. But the green juice can help with when you go into a fast, helping you get past those first couple of days, hunger pangs, things like that. And, you know, also there's other appetite suppressants that we suggest, like the Slim and Sassy oil from doTERRA. I've actually got Steve, if you all are familiar with Steve, he's one of my brothers that he's been on a YouTube channel many times. We're fasting right now together. He's going to keep going longer than me, but he's doing a Slim and Sassy now. And, I think we're on day four now. And he was saying that he only used the Slim and Sassy twice. He didn't really feel like he needed it. So maybe that's because it works well. You know, I've heard really, really good things about it. So that's something that you could try as well. I know that's maybe not exactly the answer that you were interested in, but try it. Try just taking a step back. Focus on your dietary strategy and make sure that it is a dietary strategy, right? Not just going back to eating what you've always been eating, but start eating your more high water content fruits and vegetables. that's going to help prepare you for the fast as well, because hydration is really the key of making this process a little easier and also starting the detox process before the fast. So it'll be beneficial and you will still lose weight too. Another option for you, I just kind of thought of juice fasting, right? Juice fasting is much easier than water fasting. It's very beneficial. You lose about a pound a day, but it also focuses in on the digestive system, which that's a main component of this, getting your digestive system working well. So I personally do really like the juice fasting. And I do prefer that if you're going to do the juice fasting, you use acidic fruit juice, because that's going to break down the plaque and flush out. And you should have somewhat regular bowel movements. You're not going to necessarily be on the toilet every day. I mean, you might be, but you'll notice you'll have more regular bowel movements doing like juice fasting versus water fasting. All right. So that's that. All right. I had a question here about skin cancer. Can fasting help with skin cancer? And I'm going to briefly touch on it. Fasting is a fundamental practice that is going to help with any disease ailment that you're dealing with across the board. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing about cancer specifically is that, and bear with me, everyone, cancer is not what everyone thinks it is. So when you think about the war on cancer, right, the fight against cancer and all of the terminology that we have is like, oh, cancer is this bad thing. Understand that although we are not taught this, and I don't think doctors really understand this, cancer is made by the body. The body creates cancer. Now you might say, Chris, why is the body creating cancer? Why would it create something so, you know, detrimental? Because it is a containment system for overtoxicity, mutated cells, damaged cells, and things of that nature. So we look at it as a bad thing, but it actually is it's like your fat cells. It is designed to help prolong life, believe it or not. So the first thing that we need to do is change our energy around cancer, because we've all been taught to hate it. And the reason it's important to change your energy around cancer is because you're hating your body. We don't know it. And it's a very, very slick trick that they're playing on us. But we're hating our body and we're hating the systems that are there to help us. So we need to stop that. And the reason for that is because we are water. And if you all have gone through my water master class, you understand how sensitive water is, and we are water. So the thoughts and things that we generate affect us more than any of us can probably imagine. Okay, so that's the first thing. Now, if cancer is a system that the body has created in order to suspend toxicity and, you know, prolong life and all these things, how do we work with it? The question is, how do we work with cancer to heal your body? Understanding that there is something in your system that is poisoning your body. It is not genes. It is not, hereditary or any of those out of control things. It is something specifically in your system that is poisoning your body. Now, finding out what that thing is, that's the important part. That's the part that we really need to be focused on. And that's the part that most mainstream medical doctors aren't, because they don't, oftentimes they don't believe that. I mean, there are some cancers that obviously are caused by outside forces, like if you get cancer from asbestos inhalation, we understand that those are materials that are going into our lungs and damaging our lungs. So this is not like across the board. But when we're talking about skin cancer, there's something in your system that needs to get out. And one area that I think is often missed, especially when it comes to like cancer and even autism and those types of diseases, is heavy metal toxicity. So the reason I'm bringing all this up is because, yes, fasting will help, but fasting will not reverse every cancer by itself. Sometimes you need more. And so because I don't know specifically what's going on with you, I'm just trying to give you a little bit of a wide net to cast. You want to look into the heavy metal toxicity. It's important to note that if you are what is considered a non-excreter, which means that you do not show signs of heavy metal toxicity, your labs will come back clean. If your labs come back perfectly clean, that's actually a really good indicator that you are a non-excreter, because we all should have a little heavy metal toxicity in our system. So that's a good indicator that you should, you know, dig a little deeper. The other things you want to look at are your overall consumption. So skincare products are a big, I would say that they can often impact your health, and they can, you know, have carcinogens in it and cause cancer. So you want to be very, very careful about what you put on your skin. This is everything, okay, from makeup to deodorant, to perfume or cologne, to the soaps and things like that. You want to make sure that you pay attention to everything that you're putting on, you know, on your body, your overall consumption. Also, the skin cancer may not come from actually like something you're putting on the skin. It can certainly come from, you know, something inside. Be cautious about different shots and medications that you're taking. We always have to approach cancer from a holistic perspective. So I do recommend, in addition to fasting on a regular basis, you want to adopt a alkaline diet, which is natural foods, you know, high water content foods, no processed foods, stay away from the refined and artificial sugars. And you want to stay away from your meat and dairy products because of how toxic they can be. Now, you know, we're focusing on reversing cancer, so this is kind of worth the time and effort and energy. And give yourself a few months, you know, 5-6 months to eat an alkaline diet. Couple that with your fasting regimen, whatever it is. Increase the water and, you know, see how your body responds to it. In the interim, you want to be cutting out the different beauty products and, you know, different things you might be putting in your body. And then you also can add herbs. Herbal cleanses and herbal detoxes are definitely a perfect additive to this whole thing. So that's how I would deal with cancer in general. I know that oftentimes we want, well, what about specifically this cancer or that cancer? But, you know, most wellness practitioners will agree that there's not really a whole bunch of different diseases. It's really just like one or two core issues that express themselves differently in different people. So when you get what feels like general information about it, it's not. Because when we talk about core issues, the core issue, the reason you have cancer is because of overtoxicity of your system. You know, figuring out exactly how that happened or where it's coming from, you know, that's kind of the key, but it expresses itself differently in different people. And that's where your actual genes and things may, you know, play a role. Like, you know, you might be hippie because your mama was hippie, and that's just where you know, genetically y'all hold weight. Whereas someone else holds weight in their chest or their arms. But as far as like the disease goes, we could definitely eliminate the disease, which would be obesity, right? And that would just mean eating well and not allowing ourselves to collect all this extra weight. So it's kind of like that. So hopefully that helps. And okay, Francis, if that was you who that asked that question, I would say that there is a method for getting tested, you know, that I'm sure you're already familiar with. It's a chelation. It's an IV testing. So I think what they do, I'm not 100% sure, they give you a chelation, then they test you to see if you're excreting. And all doctors aren't going to do this. This particular method, it has to be the IV method. That's the more accurate method, where they're going to actually put the material in your bloodstream. And then the heavy metals will attach to the material and it'll come out. The hair test, they were asking about the hair test. You know, once again, you could do it. If you find heavy metals in there, then you still need to pursue this process. If you don't find heavy metals, that's even a bigger indicator. I personally recommend the IV test, and I would recommend looking up Dr. Buttar. His name is Rashid Buttar. He has a clinic in North Carolina, and they do the IV testing. And I think he trains other doctors to do it, so you can find it. You know, typically you'll find it pretty close to you. That's the testing that I would recommend. And that may help you out a lot. But don't get it twisted. The fasting and the dietary changes will at the very least get the process started for you. And then if it ends up being a heavy metal toxicity or something like that, you can obviously follow through with that. But the fasting and the dietary changes will help you to feel better, because your body will be working more optimally. And so you will just, you'll start to get better. You know what I mean? It may not be the end of your journey, but it's definitely important, you know, important part. How do you stop yo-yoing? Slim and Sassy isn't working for me. I put 3 drops in my water and it's not working. Okay. So your question and your statement about Slim and Sassy not working, they're a little confusing. I don't know if this individual is on the call right now. If you are, let me know. So when you say, how do you stop yo-yoing? Understand that Slim and Sassy is not designed to stop you from yo-yoing. Okay. So, you know, it leads me to believe that you thought that the Slim and Sassy would stop you from yo-yoing, but the Slim and Sassy is designed for cellular detoxification. So when you are fasting, it's going to help, you know, it'll help you push out toxicity better. It'll help you be more efficient with what you are doing. And also it is designed as an appetite suppressant, right? So this isn't like saying that it's going to eliminate cravings or anything of that nature. It's what it says is it suppresses it. So I would need to kind of probably probe you a little bit to find out exactly what you mean by that. But as far as yo-yoing goes, I would say it's more mental than anything else. Oftentimes, maybe for you, maybe you're talking about cravings and things like that, since you mentioned the Slim and Sassy. So if that's the case, and this is still me making assumptions, I'm assuming you're talking about fasting here. You're yo-yoing with the fasting, or is it like a diet yo-yoing, or is this just your weight losses going up and down? It may be a better idea for you to focus on, once again, like diet. I talked about this earlier. Fasting is really just a fundamental practice that we really, really believe in AHA because of its wide-ranging effectiveness. But it does not have to be the core focus of your wellness journey. It does not have to be. And you know, at some point in time, you're going to have to shift gears anyway, to focusing more on eating and stuff like that, because at the end of the day, if you fast for 100 days and then you go back to your typical eating habits, you're going to gain all your weight back and all of the diseases that you eliminated are going to come back. So if the problem for you is just simply not eating, like that's the problem and you can't seem to get past the not eating part, let's focus on you eating the right things. Does that make sense? Like, shift your focus from not eating. Maybe you're not ready to be there, because as I mentioned earlier, you will start detoxing when you start eating better. And understand that when I say detoxing, that's not just a physical thing. That's not just you losing weight. It is also going to affect your mentality. It's going to help you make better choices. It's going to empower you, right? It's going to kind of start that process. So I think maybe we should kind of sometimes shift our focus. We don't always have to be focused on fasting. And I know we talk a lot about fasting, but a healthy alternative is really just that, right? So we could talk about anything in the realm of wellness. And I like to really look at things holistically speaking. So I would really encourage you, focus on your diet. And with that being said, we understand that you want to be staying away from the meats, dairy products, processed foods, and refined sugars. You don't have to do that cold turkey. Okay. You could take your time with it. You could do it over the period of, you know, 6 months, even a year, if that's what it takes for you. So I just want you all to understand this is not a race. You know what I mean? It's everyone's journey is going to be unique. So I encourage you to get on YouTube, find a couple of alkaline chefs. Ty's Conscious Kitchen is the one that I used and the one that I tell everybody about. There's many out there. Ty spelled T-Y-T-Y-S Conscious Kitchen. And, you know, just start making what he puts on there. He's got all these dishes. Start making that and eat that and eat your fill, right? Eat your fill. And what you'll notice is your bowel movements become different. They're going to be different. I don't want to say more regular because some people say, oh, Chris, I have bowel movements regularly. So you could be overweight and still have regular bowel movements, right? Because you eat so much that it will force the fecal matter out of your system. But when you start eating alkaline foods, you have different types of bowel movements. Your actual bowel movements change. And so this is all going to benefit you. You know, I hope that helps. I don't think I have enough information to really, probe you. I would continue using the Slim and Sassy because it's not just for an appetite suppressant. Once again, it does help with the overall detoxification of your system. So they're just good to take in general. But yeah, focus on eating healthy, use the Slim and Sassy along with that and monitor your results and then check back in with me and tell me how that's going for you. How do you keep your brain focused enough to stay the course of a longer fast? First, I'd like to say I have a video on YouTube called Fasting. It's like Fasting with Distractions. I think that's the exact title. And that title speaks for itself. But actually, that video, that might not be the right video now that I'm thinking about it. I think I'm not 100% sure that's the right video, but when I plan a fast, and honestly, for me, my lifestyle is kind of very, very busy in general. So I don't really have to do this anymore, but when it wasn't as busy, when I would plan a fast, I would also plan activities for myself to do during that fasting period. You can build new habits. Now this, you can do anything with this, okay? You don't have to do what my examples that I'm going to give you. Try to customize it for your life and, you know, what you have going on and maybe what your interests are around. But essentially, we're going to be distracting you while you're fasting because at the end of the day, when you're just sitting, maybe you're just vegging out watching TV or whatever it is that you might do, it's very easy for your stomach to kind of be talking to you, you know? So I would plan trips to the park. So when I very first was kind of getting into all of this, I was also practicing sun gazing, which some of you all might think, oh, Chris, that's crazy. If you've heard of sun gazing, it literally means staring at the sun. But there's a very specific way that you do it. So I don't want anybody to just off and go be trying to stare at the sun or something. It's something you need to learn about. There's like a whole technique and process. But anyway, my point is I was practicing sun gazing and I would go to the park every day, you know, for 45 minutes or whatever the case may be. That was part of my ritual, if you want to call it that. Also, at the time, I was creating my sun water every day. That was part of my rituals. Make my sun water. I would allow myself a nap in the middle of the day. That wasn't something that I would normally do, but if I could do it, I would do it because that would help pass the time. I also would focus on research That was my big thing. So this is before a healthy alternative was really what it is. But I was at the time I was fasting and I was learning. When you fast and you learn, that's a good combination. Like fasting and working on certain projects and things like that. That's a good combination, especially if you're not necessarily dealing with brain fog at that particular time in the fast. So, you know, for some of you all on the call, you may have experienced that clarity of mind that comes with fasting. And if you are experiencing that, it's an excellent time to work on some projects. So I did a lot of research. What else? My brother, Steve, he picked up teaching himself how to use chopsticks, which is, you know, interesting because obviously you need food or something to pick up with the chopsticks. But he would practice with chopsticks. So he taught himself something new. Another weird habit or I find this to work help is watching cooking videos. Now, some people like to watch what's called mukbang, which is like, you know, that's not really what I'm talking about. But some people like to watch that. I would watch like alkaline cooking shows and it would help me to, number one, learn about dietary strategy. But also for some reason, like watching people prepare food helped take my mind off of it. It was weird. Smelling food too seemed to help me like take my mind off of it. So, you know, these are just some ideas. You could also practice breathing techniques, meditation techniques. This is a perfect time to practice that type of stuff. And the reason why is because everything you do will be heightened. You know, your body is going to be more responsive. So if you've never tried it before, it's a great time to try it. So I just say have a plan. And, you know, D said enter in a medieval state, meditative state, and engage in creative activities. Yeah, really, engage in creativity, in creativity, you know, origami. Find something outside of your norm. We spend so much time wasting our life away. Like we don't even know it. We're going to work, we eat, we sleep, we go to, you know, the bathroom and grocery shopping and laundry and stuff like that. Find something creative to do with your time because we are naturally creative creatures. And I feel like, especially from young age, we are stripped of our creativity, our individuality. And these are things that we thrive on, but we don't know it. So when you're filling that void in your life, it may be because you're not using your natural creativity. You know, I used to love origami when I was a child. Maybe if you could think back to when you were a child, think about some creative things that you like to do. All right. Like these are some really good practices to do. You really have to be intentional about it. You know, make a plan, like really think this thing through. All right. So that's pretty much it for tonight, folks. I want to thank everybody for coming on and joining us. I didn't get through all the questions, but I will pick up where I left off on the next call. And you all are more than welcome to add some more questions to the list. It's been a really, really busy week. I'm going to take a break. I want everybody to know I'm taking a break for 4 days. I'm going to go and just relax. So I'll probably still be checking messages a little bit, but I'm going to take a break. I got a lot of stuff going on and I need to recenter myself. That's why I did this fast. And now I'm going to probably go and explore some raw food restaurants, raw food, something like that. And make sure you guys check the store. We will be posting the bookmarks there shortly. I'm going to get some of these live pictures of it, and then we'll have the bookmarks there. They are beautiful. Like, I'm extremely happy with how they turned out. So definitely make sure to check those out. All right, y'all. Have a good night.
Peace. Be safe, brother.
Peace. Yolanda, you making fun of me. Kareem.
Just a little bit, my guy.
I appreciate it.
You're the best. I'm glad you caught it.
I got it. Good night.
Have a good vacation.
Thank you.